Welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. The Wellness Enclave will explore emotional health and its impact on everyday life. In the Enclave, we will address how emotional health is connected to other parts of your life, such as physical health, relationships, spirituality, and even decision making. Our goal in the Wellness Enclave is to help you become a healthier, happier you through motivation, education, and innovation. And now, the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell, where emotional health and wellness is our top priority. Today, we will be discussing supporting and communicating with your LGBTQ child. We have a very special call-in guest, Ms. Natalie Ellis. We will be right back after this commercial break.
Tired of the runaround and poor customer service from seasonal tax preparers? Bring your services to experienced accountants who left corporate accounting firms to serve their communities with taxes and all other accounting needs. Tax Time Accounting and Tax Services, located at 3965 Rockbridge Road in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Come in or give us a call at 404-296-2985. Tax Time Accounting and Tax Services, where experience plus knowledge equals the highest refunds.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Enclave. Today we have a very special call-in guest, Ms. Natalie Ellis. How are you, Ms. Ellis?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am doing well, and I do appreciate you for returning as a call-in guest. I think you are very informative, and you have a wealth of knowledge, so I definitely appreciate you giving us the opportunity to listen to all of your knowledge once again. Today for the listening audience, we will be discussing communicating and supporting your LGBTQ child. So the first thing I would like for Ms. Ellis to do is define that acronym for us.
Yes, the acronym originally started with LGBT back in the 90s, mm-hmm. and L is lesbian, gay, G for gay, B for bisexual, T for transgender. And then the Q was added in 1996 for queer or questioning.
Okay.
So that's the acronym for LGBTQ.
So for today, for the Q, I want to use the Q for questioning because we're talking about children and adolescents, and a lot of times they fall into that category of questioning, so that everyone can
Correct.
Have a base.
And one thing I wanted to kind of talk about, too, is that there's a difference with sexual behaviors and sexual orientation. Sometimes it's not synonymous, but oftentimes people do use it synonymously, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. sex versus gender.
Okay.
Whereas sex is defined by the anatomy of an individual.
Okay.
And gender is more defined by the socially constructed roles and behaviors and activities of men versus women, as opposed to their the anatomy.
So before,
and so I just wanted to make sure people kind of know there's a difference.
Right, and I agree with you, and actually that was going to be one of my questions to you, and before we even get started with everything else, also, can you define transgender?
Ooh, transgender.
So, And the reason I'm asking is because throughout the years, and you've been working in this a little bit longer than I have, this particular area, throughout the years, it has changed. When I started working in transgender, it was, when I started working with the population, it was for individuals who basically they didn't go through with the full sexual reassignment surgery, but they were taking hormones. Right. They were taking hormones. Now right. I think it's changed a little bit, and I didn't know if you. And I'm asking. I didn't know yes. if you were aware of how the definition, what the definition is at this particular time.
Yeah, and you're right. And definition has changed. And so there's a trans male, and then there's trans female. Mm-hmm. So depending on what they're transitioning
okay.
from in terms of their biological sex mm-hmm. and what they're transitioning to become.
Okay.
Right? And so, yeah, there's a gamut of what that could look like depending on whether or not they've gone through the whole process.
Okay.
Or where they're at in the process of the transitioning. And so, yeah, part of the definition of transgender is a person identifying themselves as this particular gender.
Yes, ma'am.
Yet having the sex of having this type of sex. So, for example, they're born sex-wise, they're born male.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're identifying their gender as female.
Okay. So let's go ahead and get, and I thank you. I appreciate that. And I just wanted the listening audience to know, because again, I know they're probably dealing with some adolescents who may identify as transgender. So again, let's go back to the adolescents and communicating and supporting with your LGBTQ child. According to the most recent research, or just whatever you've been observing, mm-hmm. what percentage of adolescents are identifying as LGBTQ, and has there been an increase in individuals or children and adolescents identifying as LGBTQ or Q?
Yes. And so according to some of the research, and there's research, youth risk behavior surveys from 2016 that I was looking at, CDC has done some research, so there's various research being done. 8% of all high school students in America are identifying as some form of LGBTQ, so 8%.
Okay.
And in Georgia, particularly, 4.5% are identifying as LGBTQ.
Now, in your practice, have you seen an overall increase in adolescents who identify? Let's say within the last year.
In terms of identifying or questioning mm-hmm. or being more comfortable in having the discussion because of the because there's been more tolerance,
right.
despite the rise of bullying and the rise of mm-hmm. Rejection, I guess, from society overall, but there is more tolerance also.
Okay.
Right, because there's been more tolerance and they see it more on television, there's more discussions about it. People are more comfortable to talk about it. Interestingly enough, I have a client who's going through the trans process
mm-hmm.
and he is in his 60s.
Okay.
You know, and so I think in every level, not just for youth,
mm-hmm.
in every age bracket, people who have been in hiding are becoming more comfortable.
Okay.
In talking about that. So in that way, yes, there's a rise in an increase in adolescents
right.
just identifying that they may be in any one of those categories.
Mm-hmm. What type of conversation should you have with your child if you suspect that he or she is questioning their orientation? You know, how can you be supportive and not influence that child?
Sure. I think part of it is to definitely have a candid conversation with them. Now, the key will be, how do you have that conversation without rejecting them and
mm-hmm.
without making them feel unworthy, right? And so how do you validate their feelings? And so part of it is identifying and helping them identify what is it that's going on with them, and how do you validate that? And how do you provide support and be involved and be proactive in talking with your youth about whatever's going on with them, instead of rejecting and not validating what's going on?
Right.
Because when that happens, then there's the shutting down, and we don't want that. So definitely, in some ways, I think families need to figure out how to provide supportive and safe,
right.
and when I say safe, not just physically safe
mm-hmm.
environments for their child, but also emotionally safe environment for their child to be able to talk about what's going on with them. because a lot of that could be exploring, and some of that may become what they identify as.
Right.
But as young adolescents, some of that could very well be exploring, and how do you have these conversations? And sex is a hard conversation to talk about in general, mm-hmm. let alone now we're adding these components of LGBTQ into it as well.
Are there signs or indicators that your child may be struggling with his or her identity or orientation?
I think it's definitely being aware of your child's interests. We could look at behaviors. We could look at the way that they're acting and things like that. So those could be things because, again, in this society and in most societies, men act a certain way, and this is what, in terms of gender roles are very strict.
Mm-hmm.
Men act a certain way, women act a certain way. So when a man is acting like a woman, or when a woman is acting like a man, or when a girl is acting like a boy, or a boy acting like a girl,
right.
or when a boy is being feminine and a girl is being masculine, mm-hmm. then that confuses people, and we automatically want to put people in categories. And yes, that could be a starting conversation, to say, well, I noticed this. However, it doesn't necessarily mean that because I like to wear boy clothes that I'm automatically lesbian.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean that. However, it is a start of the conversation.
Okay.
And how do you have that conversation in a safe and supportive, validating manner?
And so one of the questions I want to ask you, and I don't know if you will be able to answer it, or you can reflect upon maybe a patient or a client that you've had in the past, is how does a parent or guardian support an LGBTQ child when they do not philosophically agree and or understand the child's orientation or identification as it relates to religion, machismo, cultural beliefs, you know, things of that nature? How do they begin to learn to support that?
Sure. Well, one of the things, because I've been in those situations many times before, one of the things is the key is what is most important. And what we, I believe, as parents is more important for our children is making sure that our child is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, their well-being is balanced and healthy, right? And so if that is the goal that we're trying to look to focus on, then how do we have a conversation about making sure we are healthy? So it doesn't matter if you're straight, you need to be healthy. It doesn't matter if you're
right.
gay, lesbian, or whatever. How are we healthy? How are we making sure that our self-esteem is at a healthy level, how our self-worth is at a healthy level? How do we make sure those things are at a healthy level? So one of the things I talk to parents about first is making sure that's okay, right?
Okay.
And so if our child is coming to us and they're questioning their sexuality,
mm-hmm.
right? And in that we're noticing there's a lot of confusion in terms of self. They're wanting to kill themselves. Well, you know, how do we make sure that they're okay?
Okay.
Right? And oftentimes, when kids are saying they're coming out or people are saying they're coming out knowing there's going to be backlash, knowing there's going to be all this retaliation. And so there's already a sense of insecurities that goes on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you could potentially disagree with that. However, what is more important?
Right.
You know, in terms of the well-being of your child, and how do we make sure the child is at a safe place emotionally and mm-hmm. physically, and making sure that they're in their best overall health,
okay.
Emotional health, physical health, and all those things. So I think it's about having those conversations. Physical health in terms of safe sex
mm-hmm.
and all those things in regards to sex. Emotional health in regards to appropriate partners that have their best interests. And those are conversations we need to have versus only focusing on the fact that they are LGBTQ.
Absolutely.
Because then we miss so many things when that becomes the focus.
So let me ask you one more question before we go to break. This is a very interesting topic. So again, I can't stress how much I appreciate you being willing to come on and to discuss it. Let me ask it like this. Are LGBTQ children and adolescents, are they at higher risk for depression? And the second part to that is, are they more susceptible as well? Because, and you kind of already mentioned this, to being subjected to victimization by family and or peers.
Yes, so a couple of things. So I'm going to read out some statistics that I got from the World Health Organization,
mm-hmm.
from CDC. So I'll read you out some statistics. LGBTQ youth, 10% are threatened with weapon on school property.
Mm-hmm.
34% are bullied on school property. 28% are bullied electronically. 23% of LGBT students experience sexual dating violence.
Okay.
18% physical dating violence. 18% have said that they've been raped in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of that, who knows, again, the circumstances of some of that. And this is that 18% who's been raped in their lives. That number is more than three times the rate of straight students.
Okay.
And so I don't know if there's necessarily a correlation because they are LGBTQ. That puts them at higher risk.
Mm-hmm.
They're twice more likely to get bullied. 30% of them have attempted suicide, which is four times more likely than straight students.
Oh, wow.
60% reporting sad and hopelessness. And so, yes, so to answer your question, they are at higher risk of depression. They are at higher risk of suicidality. They're at higher risk of becoming victims and of crime. Yes.
Okay. And I appreciate those statistics because I think that further drives home to the parents and the guardians how much their support is really needed, whether they agree or understand or not. The first thing is their child's
very
safety.
Much so.
Right.
And, you know, interestingly, in the state of Georgia, I've worked a lot with this population in the last 20 years. And Georgia is one of the highest states in homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other interesting thing, too, with that is homelessness between for youth 18 to 24. And in other words, we're not talking about that age group.
Right.
But again, if they're already having some rejection and stuff younger than age 18,
mm-hmm.
so come 18, that increases their chance of homelessness as well because the rejection from family. And so, yeah, this is a big, big deal. And so a high percentage of homelessness is also the LGBTQ population.
Okay. All right, everyone, you've been listening to Ms. Natalie Ellis. You are also listening to The Enclave with Dr. Sewell. We will be right back after this commercial break. Everyone, welcome back to the Wellness Enclave, where our call-in guest is Ms. Natalie Ellis, and we are discussing communicating and supporting your LGBTQ child. So I only have a few more questions for you. Unfortunately, we only have about four or five minutes left. And again, I'm stressing how much I do appreciate you calling in. You gave us some statistics prior to break. In terms of suicidality, possibility of, and it leads to possibility of increased risk for depression and things of that nature. One of the things I wanted to ask you was, how should a parent or guardian prepare their child for this? If their child is questioning or if they've already come out, so to speak, how should they prepare their child to deal with the public?
Sure. And so, again, our family life is a microcosm of the bigger society, right? The macro. And so, again, if a child or youth is feeling unsupported in their home environment, I could imagine what that would also do in the bigger environment that they go into. And so, again, if it's about preparing youth to handle the bigger society, it's about providing them with tools. And in order to do that, in order to teach them and provide them with tools of how to take care of themselves and how to build their self-esteem, their self-worth, they need to be in a supportive environment to do that, to teach them that. You know, if they're outcast or if they're rejected and shunned, where are they going to go to? You know, at that point, it's all about surviving. And so definitely with families, again, how do you have these conversations despite the differences in philosophy or in beliefs? And how, because ultimately the goal is making sure your child is safe, making sure your child is healthy, and having focusing more on that as being the conversation.
Are there support groups that the parents and the children can go to? We always know that therapy is an option, but also are there support groups for?
Yeah, there's stuff out there. I was looking online for different programs. There's lots of different types of programs. There's different projects. The CDC has a lot of few things. I know years ago in Atlanta, there was Youth Pride. So I've had a few clients, I think that's still going on because I've had a few clients that's mentioned Youth Pride. When he was questioning his own sexuality, the 16-year-old, he wanted to be in the environment to kind of get more information about it. You know, and that's great to get more information about that. And so, yeah, there's different programs and different things out there on the internet and websites to explore.
And the last question I have for you before I ask you where can you be reached and all of that other good stuff, the last question I have for you is, are there myths surrounding how a child gets to the point where he or she is questioning or they identify as LGBT? Are there myths such as, because I hear people say, well, you know, he must have been raised around a bunch of women. That's probably why he feels like he wants to be a female, or that's why he behaves a certain way. Like, are there any myths around orientation and gender, to your knowledge?
Not so much in terms of myths. I've heard all those type of philosophies being raised around women, or they're doing too many woman things, or the fact that, you know, if a guy is acting feminine, then the myth is that you must be gay. And, you know, some of that, again, because of social constructs, it could lead to that, but doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. Myths in terms of parents feeling as if it's their fault that their child is like that, or you must not be normal because you're like that. I know years ago, I think in the 80s is when they took out homosexuality as part of the DSM diagnosis, because at some point before 1980s, being homosexual was viewed as not normal, was viewed as something mentally wrong or as a diagnosis. People have moved away from that. A myth that you're just automatically going to hell because of that, I think those could be myths that, again, has kept people in the closet and trapped. And, again, those things have to be conversations, because at the end of the day, from my experience with the youth that I've had, it's painful to walk around feeling confusing, to walk around feeling as if you're unloved, fear of rejection, fear of not being accepted. That just creates more of an issue versus the times where the child has come to the grips with, this is who I am, and then how do we move on from there? I think overall, mental health-wise, that's gotten better results.
Okay.
And getting to the parents to get to that place of, well, this is how my child is, and how do I help my child be the best person that they can be?
You
know, in terms of safety, in terms of all those things.
So,
because once we could get to that point, we could really start having conversations, real true conversations.
So, everyone, you guys have been listening to Ms. Natalie Ellis. Ms. Ellis, really quickly, can you tell the audience how they can get in contact with you?
Yes, I'm Natalie Ellis. I am in the Decatur, Georgia area. People could definitely reach me through my social media. Esteem Counseling and Consulting Services is my business. I have an Instagram page, and I do a lot of different things through Instagram. I do an Instagram Live on Wednesdays where I talk about different mental health topics. Again, my Instagram is Esteem Counseling Services. So I'm out there on social media and on the Internet. So just find me, Natalie Ellis.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. You guys have been listening to Ms. Natalie Ellis. She's been educating us and educating us well on communicating and supporting your LGBTQ child. You have been listening to Dr. Sewell on the Wellness Enclave. And as always, I hope you guys have a fantastic day and a happy and healthy week.
This has been the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. Join us each Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. on WWE The Real 1100 AM. We look forward to growing with you.